Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. With me today is somebody who has been doing the work for a long time in lots of different iterations, and it's so exciting to have her on. And as you all know, listening to this pod for a while, none of this would be possible without the support of Hubbard Radio, who is giving us the studio space, even when we're recording virtually. We're just really grateful to our friends at Hubbard. So very happy to have me have with me today Anne McCauley. She has a very long title, folks, so strap in. She is the Missouri Director of the Rural Opioid Technical Assistance Regional Project, otherwise known as ROTA. And Anne is here today to talk all about recovery-friendly workplaces. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I can't tell you how much I appreciate being here and having the opportunity to share this initiative with you and with our listeners.
So let's pretend that I've never heard the term recovery-friendly workplace before. Can you give me kind of like a historical perspective on sort of where this came from and when it came to Missouri? Because it hasn't always been here, right? So can you talk about where it came from?
Absolutely. The state of New Hampshire started it, and we did a lot of modeling after them initially. And when it first started, there were just a few states, and now we're up over 25 states that are working on it. When we brought it to Missouri, there was a discussion with a group of people who were talking about the workplace shortage and particularly opioids in the workforce.
That's right.
And the question was, what are we doing about this? We are University of Missouri Extension. Our job is to solve problems that nobody else solves, to work on issues and to tackle them. And we had egg on our face. And we checked around and we had to say, you know what, we're really not doing anything. So that led to some conferences. We thought it would just be a short-term issue, not as huge a need as we came to see. And out of that came the Rural Opioid Technical Assistance Grant. There was an opportunity to write for a grant, and a good portion of the grant funded the Recovery Friendly Workplace Initiative. So that's where it came from in Missouri. When we started, we steeped this in research. So for a couple of years, you did not hear or see trainings.
Because you were doing behind the scenes.
We were doing a lot of behind the scenes research. And what we did, the very first thing we did was to hold a live stream close to about 4 years ago, and we invited over 300 people. It was COVID, and we did it over Zoom, but we had a discussion of what opioids in the workforce look like. We presented data from Dr. Mark White, our colleague, who did an extensive study about this, and then his study showed that hiring people in recovery might be one of the possible solutions to the workplace shortage and to all the issues that were going on during COVID. We did this live stream, and during the live stream, we developed a working definition of what it means to be recovery friendly. And we decided in our state that it's a workplace that shifts its attitudes, and it's a cultural shift, and it's a workplace that puts the health, well-being, and safety of all employees to the forefront, while also supporting those in recovery. So that's a quick definition of what our state at that live stream decided it should be. From there, we held community conversations where we talked in local communities about what are you doing now? And we did a lot of talking about how we could sit at our desks in our ivory towers and come up with all the trainings and all the solutions in the world with this money that we got through the grant, but it would be to no avail if it wasn't useful to people in the communities. So we did a lot of talking. We held community conversations all over Missouri. We gauged, where are you at now as a community? We invited businesses that were already hiring people in recovery to talk. We asked them, what are the problems you're having? What are the issues? How can we help you? One of the things that came out of that was our website. And we developed a website and a blog that we'd keep up monthly, because while we were in these conversations, we had so many questions. How do I not stigmatize? How do I talk to people in recovery? So I wrote all the questions down, and we came back and I developed a blog and began to write blogs that answered the questions. Language matters, you know, different things. And as we worked through all the questions, then we developed a designation process, and pretty soon we started to feature those businesses on the blog. We also partnered with the Chamber of Commerce, and we surveyed over 900 businesses to get data on what do you need, where are you now, what do you believe. And then we followed that up with that was our employer survey. We followed it up with an employee survey, and then we compared the results. Our employer saying, oh, we don't have a problem, we don't need any support, and our employee saying we do. That's a simplified version, but where are the discrepancies, and what kinds of trainings can we do to correct that? And then I developed a curriculum based upon all the needs that we found, and that's on our website, and businesses go through that curriculum to become designated as recovery friendly.
Well, you've said a lot, so I want to pick apart some of the things you said. And going back to its origins in New Hampshire, Governor Sununu, or Representative Sununu, was one. Governor Sununu?
Governor.
Yes. Was one of the early proponents of this, because, you know, he knew firsthand about recovery and about stigma and things like that. And I will say that at Prevent Ed, we had been talking for years about how to bring what was happening there to Prevent Ed, but we didn't really know how to formalize it. And we were so grateful and thrilled when we heard what was going on at the University of Missouri, at the Missouri Extension. And there had been these conversations, right, in the construction industry, even before COVID, about opioids, mental health, how are we supporting our workforce? And what a lot of people don't know, maybe people who listen to the pod, because John Gall's been on a bunch of times, but that Missouri is really a leader when it comes to looking at the construction industry and meeting their mental and physical needs, like going way beyond OSHA, right? OSHA is important. That takes care of physical health, but then also, like, what can we do with the mental health? So we had had conversations before COVID at a state level, right, about what we could do to support the workforce mentally through, as you mentioned, the opioid crisis. And then it sort of reached a real peak when we had the Great Resignation after COVID. We're trying to figure out, how do we get people? How do we keep people? How do we as a business set ourselves apart from other businesses? You know, all of the things, right? And so at that moment, at least from my perspective, that's really where the Recovery Friendly Initiative in Missouri kind of hit at just the right time. As you stated, as employers are looking around going, we have to differentiate ourselves from other employers. We have to retain the staff that we have. We know they're going through stuff. How are we gonna, you know, keep them? But also, you know, it's the right thing to do. But I feel like at that moment is really when all of your research and your hard work really kind of exploded. The website took off and everything really took off. And there was a conference in last summer, right? And you highlighted some organizations that had received the designation. And so I just really, people who know me know that this is an issue that is very close to my heart. I think it is the right thing to do. I think that if you're the owner or the boss or fill in whatever word, and you don't support people in recovery, shame on you. And I think that the designation is simply an opportunity to formalize what you already as a company might be doing, right? So it's just a way to like be loud and proud about it and say, we support people in recovery. We support all of our staff. And here's our designation to show it. And we're going to live into it. Gosh darn it. So I'm really passionate about it. And I think if you're not doing it, like, shame on you. I really do. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to say that, but we're in 2024. Like, every place of employment should be recovery friendly.
You are correct.
We spend all of our lives at work. How can we not show up as our full selves? It doesn't make sense to me.
That's right. Thank you, Nicole, for that endorsement, because I
it doesn't make sense.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And
it doesn't cost anything, right?
Nothing.
When we got the designation, Anne, it cost us nothing. I mean, we decided to throw a party because we were so excited. But what? So let me backtrack, because I'm on my soapbox. So let me get off for a second. There's no one size fits all for becoming a recovery friendly workplace.
That's right.
How we did it doesn't mean that that's how a hospital does it or a factory does it. So can you talk kind of broadly about what are sort of the boxes you have to check to meet that requirement? And then maybe go into some of the like extra things that companies have done to kind of go beyond the requirements.
Absolutely. So there's a designation process, and it's divided into steps. And the very first thing that a business does is reach out to me. It's easy to do that through the website, and we're at www.recoveryfriendlymo.com. Easy to find us. When you get on the website, there's a form, a fillable form, and you just put in your name.
And it takes 2 seconds.
It takes, yeah, no trouble at all. And it doesn't imply commitment. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to go any further. I'm going to talk to you about what this is. When you hit send on that form, it comes to me in the form of an email. And I see how many employees you have. I see what your industry is, who you are, and I contact you. We'll meet and have a conversation. And if you're interested, then you'll go through a formal orientation with me. And that looks different for every company because, as you know, Nicole, you guys walk the walk and talk the talk, and you were already doing it. So how I talk to you is a lot different than how I spoke to the muffler company that got designated the landscaping company. And so it's different with each group, but they go through a designation, and I try really hard during the designation to listen to why they want to do this, what their issues are, what their concerns are. I had an international company who said, "We've been hiring people in recovery for years. That's not a problem. You know, we wouldn't be in business if we didn't. We don't know how to support them." So that's really different from a business that says, "We don't hire anybody in recovery, and we want to know why it's important and why we should do it." So we listen to that and try to gauge where the business is. And from there, we do the orientation, and we just talk, and I share ideas for what they can do. I talk about who our partners are, because one of the first things we did is to form partnerships at the state level, the Missouri Department of Mental Health, the Missouri Rural Health Association, the State Chamber, Prevent Ed, because we understand we can't do it all. And there'll be trainings and there'll be technical assistance needs that we don't have the resources to provide, but they already exist. And so part of this is about, let's not duplicate services in the state. Then from there, the business, if they're still interested, they have to send a letter of commitment. Some businesses have done it by changing their personnel policies and putting it in their policies.
That's what we did.
That's what you did. Some businesses send an email to all employees. Some businesses have put it up on a board that's up on their wall permanently. Some businesses have taken our logo and enmeshed it with their logo.
Oh, wow.
And it's Ace Pipe in Kansas City did that.
Cool.
It's amazing. And then Ace Pipe put our logo on every hard hat for every.
Oh my God, I love that. Yeah.
So they're all over the streets. They're working everywhere, all over the state with a recovery friendly workplace hard hat. So
I just got a little teary. I love that.
No, I have goosebumps still, and I've known they've done this for over a year. And every time I say it, I get goosebumps. So every single business does it differently.
Right.
But they have to make a proclamation of some kind to their employees saying, we are going to follow the tenants. Here's what being recovery friendly means. And there are some businesses that's hard to do. And so we have a sample proclamation on the website. You can use that. You can tailor it to your business. You can fill in the blanks, or you can write your own. And everybody's done it differently. Everybody has a different reason for doing this. We designated a barber shop in inner city St. Louis because that man is seeing people, homeless people, living on the streets, overdosing every single day. He doesn't have any employees, but he wants to be able to help them.
So, and it's almost like this designation that like, we got you, we get it. Yes. You can walk in our doors and we're going to treat you as a human. It's a safe space. Yes. It's so, like the triangle, the safe space triangle, you know, that like a kid can go to if they're in crisis. That's what this is too. It's just to say, it's a stamp basically that says like, we got you.
Yes. And so it's not just a recovery friendly workplace. It's a recovery friendly community.
That's right.
That's what we really want. And that was actually the title of our grant with Rhoda. When we wrote it, it was called Recovery Friendly Communities. We want to take the workplaces. We do it through the workplace, but we want it to spread into the entire community. And that's one of the pieces is you have to, within the first year, hold a community event to celebrate recovery.
To celebrate. Yeah. Yes.
And that's a requirement to keep going with the designation. So now you've done all of this. You've sent your statement to your employees, or you've changed your personnel policies. You have to go through our curriculum and understand this is only an hour to an hour.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. Nope.
Because we don't want this to be cumbersome. We don't want you to have to jump through hoops that make it hard. We want to shift your thinking. We want to do a cultural shift, not make it so you don't want to do it. So, and we've had businesses that say, oh my gosh, I didn't understand addiction was a brain disease until now.
Right.
I didn't get it. This really changed me. And that's what we want. So you go through a training where you understand how to be a recovery ally, how to support someone in recovery. You go through a training where you actually understand how to administer naloxone, what it is, and then we provide you with naloxone. And then you go through a training that we developed in partnership with Shatterproof. And if you aren't aware of Shatterproof, Google them. They're amazing.
They're great.
They are fantastic. And we asked them if we could tailor their trainings to the workforce. And they allowed us. And we have the trainings those are the ones that show the addiction continuum, talk about addiction as a brain disease. So after you've been through this training, and if I can add one caveat, initially we had decided we're going to require every person in the business to go through it. And then we designated a hospital and they said, we have people who mow the lawn once a month. We have people who pick up the laundry. You know, we can't get everybody. And so we started to think about that and we said, let's let the business decide who goes through it. But it has to at least be your leadership, your HR manager, whoever hires people. And so after you've done all that, there's a checkoff list and you check it off and then you contact me and say, hey, I've done it and I can verify you took the trainings. I'm an administrator on the course, so I can go in and see how long you've been.
Yeah.
I can see how the modules moved if you just stopped and let it run. I can, and no one does that, but I can see all that. And then from there, we're ready for the designation. And everywhere we've been, and you know this because you did it, the designation ceremonies are joyous occasions. They are absolutely wonderful. We designated, recently we designated the adult high school in Columbia, and it was on, we decided to wait to do it till it was their fifth birthday. It was their fifth anniversary being a high school, and they had a big birthday party, and we did the designation.
Was that the Excel Center?
That was the Excel
Center. The Excel Center. Dr. Canose. Yes. Right. Yes.
And so
it's joyous.
Oh, it's absolutely joyous. And what we're hearing is employees say, we now have the courage to be human. We have the courage to display who we are. And we had seen several workplaces where employees said, oh, sure, they offer us the employee assistance plan. We have an EAP. We won't use it because we're just so sure they're spying on us. You know, we're sure we'll lose our jobs. Well, that's changed. You know, the hospital that we designated, they said they couldn't fill positions everywhere. Landscaping, yeah. Housekeeping, the kitchen, nurses. They couldn't fill positions. And not only were they not getting applicants, those they did get weren't qualified. Well, after they got designated, they were shocked. They started getting tons of applicants and from very qualified people. And what that told us is that your employees become your ambassadors.
Totally.
They go out and they talk it up, and there's nothing better than that.
You know, I think that we have to evolve. And at Prevent Ed, we've certainly done this, where our policies now are less about what you can't do.
That's right.
And more about what you can do and how you can show up. Right? Like, we changed our dress code. It was very prescriptive. A couple years ago, it said, these are the things you can't wear. You need to be professional, whatever the heck that means. And we had a staff person who is of African descent look at this and say, it doesn't say that I can wear cultural garb. And I said, but it doesn't say you can't. And she said, but it doesn't say I can. And so I think that the recovery friendly proclamation policy in our sense is a stamp that says we want you as a human employee. We know that employees are imperfect because humans are imperfect, but we also want you to show up in your best way every day. And we want to support that. And for us, you know, it was really living, it was really just documenting what we'd been living, right? Which we know that there are tons of paths to recovery, tons right. of paths to fellowship. But if you, you know, need to step out because you need to attend a meeting, okay. Exactly. And if you are struggling with substances, for us, it's not and never has been a zero tolerance. Like, we really want to figure out, you know, how to get you support. We want to celebrate your recovery birthday, just like we celebrate other milestones. We want it to be a place where you can talk openly to your comfort about, you know, struggles that you're having or that your family's having, that our HR director is going to be equipped, because as you noted, Anne, so many times, like, leadership has no idea what to do, right? Or how to follow right. through on it.
Right.
And you mentioned things that are not hard. A meeting with you, an orientation, a proclamation, an hour's worth of training, and a party. These are not hard.
Exactly.
And yet you also said that only about 25 states have this initiative. And I know that the number of businesses in Missouri that are deemed recovery friendly that have gone through the designation is probably 3% of
probably.
The,
we have okay? 30. We have 30 right now.
So help me understand why organizations would not do this. Why states would not adopt this? Like, what's the holdup?
So you actually have segued me into our new grant, because the holdup is stigma. There's a lot of stigma attached to hiring people in recovery. And one business said to me, are you telling me that people should come to work stoned?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what you're saying, Anne.
Are you saying that people should be high on the job? And I said, no. Well, no. If we become recovery friendly, aren't we encouraging that? And I said, no, sir. And so it's a mind shift, but right. the stigma is huge.
It is.
And the judgment, especially in smaller rural communities, that's where we see it the most. There are some really difficult communities that we've had trouble breaking into because of the stigma. And people that are in recovery are hesitant to even ask for help, to be in the parking lot of the counselor, because they're seen and then they're stigmatized in their own communities. And that's a big problem. So our new grant took the focus away from just funding to move forward with businesses to become recovery friendly. And it says, what's next? What are we missing? What is keeping, what's the roadblock? What's keeping these businesses from wanting to do this? And so the new grant has funds for us to develop training like Recovery is Resilience and Recovery Ally in the Workplace, deeper dives into the training than what we've been doing. Training on stigma. We're working on a stigma campaign. And Doug Swanson, one of my colleagues, he and I serve on a national stigma advisory board with Penn State. And we're working to help advise on the development of a national stigma summit. And that's where the conversation needs to go. That's what we have to do. In some ways, it's hard because now you're not focusing as much on the initial process, but there are so many businesses that we've worked with that the initial process is great, but it's not enough. We've announced we're recovery friendly. We've got people in the community who don't want to come near us. You know, what are we supposed to do? Or we've got employees who
are in recovery, and how do we support them? Continued.
What do we do now? You know, how do we support them? And so that's what we're working on now. And we're doing it on a more global level. And that was an edict from the national SAMHSA office and our funder. You've got to do this in more than just Missouri. And so we're now at a regional level.
And what I would like to see, so I'm about to hop on my soapbox again here, because again, if you can't tell I'm passionate about this, folks, like, you're not listening hard enough. But what I would like to see is, because you all have had to broaden, I would like to see the 30 organizations that are designated as a recovery-friendly workplace use their experience, how it has changed employee retention and recruitment, to continue to be the mouthpiece for you all. But I'd also like the 30 somewhat businesses here in Missouri to partner with each other, right? Like,
definitely.
Because if I'm looking for a pipe company, you know who I'm going to call. I'm going to call the pipe company that has the logo on their hard hats.
Exactly.
And if I know somebody in Franklin County that is looking for a job, I'm going to refer them to buddies because I know that they get it. Exactly. Right. And I think that just like we as an organization, we go out of our way to prioritize minority and women businesses, and that's where we want to give our money to. We as an organization have also gone out of our way to give money to organizations that are recovery friendly, or that are run by somebody in recovery, or that employ people in recovery, whether or not they have the designation. We, at our celebration, we had a coffee culture, which is a local coffee and cookie company that is run by somebody in long-term recovery. I don't think they have the designation, but they're doing the work. So we at Prevent Ed can be a mouthpiece to say, hey, have you considered this designation? And oh, by the way, your coffee's really great. Can we pay you to come and give our staff some coffee and cookies?
Exactly.
So I think that I mean, wouldn't it be great if there was a directory, right, in the future of all these places that if I want to go out on a Saturday night and spend $100 that I can choose, or if I want to have work done on my house, I can choose, like an Angie's List, but for this, right?
That's
like
on our website. There is a interactive directory with a map.
Yes.
On the website.
And I just want people to talk about it more, you know?
Yes. Me too.
Yes.
Thank you. And you're talking about the direction that I would like to see us go.
Awesome.
One of the things I'm hoping to do is to bring all the businesses together this summer to form their own community of practice.
Yes. That's the thing in June, right? I filled out a survey for that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm really hoping that businesses, as you said, will use their strengths to support other businesses.
Right.
We did see that with one of the businesses rewrote their policies and they gave us some ideas to help another business.
Oh, cool.
One of the businesses down in Branson and Springfield Core is a recovery. They have recovery housing and they have a recovery program. They became a recovery-friendly workplace. And then I had a business in another part of the state with someone who needed help. And I reached out to CORE. And they said, initially they said, we only serve our counties. But you know what? We'll serve people that are recovery-friendly.
Yes.
Give them our number. So that's the kind of thing. It's starting.
It is starting.
We need more. It needs to go deeper. And every business I've worked with has a tremendous skill. Everyone has a strength in something. And if we can all play off each other's strengths and we can help those new businesses to come into the fold, I think we make our state a better place to live.
If you are listening to this podcast and you are not a recovery-friendly workplace, you have homework. And you have homework because you care enough to listen to this podcast. Okay? Many people who listen every week. We have it come out. You care. And you might work at a daycare center. You might work at a nonprofit. You might, your kiddo might be starting a new consulting company, whatever. If you have a tie to a business, your homework is to check out recoveryfriendlymo.org.
Recoveryfriendlyworkplacemo.com. Recoveryfriendlyworkplacemo.com.
Yes. Recoveryfriendlyworkplacemo.com. Recovery, and we'll have that written, but your homework is to schedule a meeting with Ann.
Absolutely.
I want Ann's calendar to be jammed with people who want to learn more. And it's not a commitment, right? Like Ann said, it's not a commitment, but you want to learn more. And I can tell you firsthand, we have about a third of our staff in recovery, but all of our staff are deeply connected to substance use disorder, but about a third are in long-term recovery. The sense of loyalty.
That's right.
And team spiritedness, dedication, belonging, that those folks feel is contagious.
And if I can interrupt.
It is contagious.
Second, they credit their sobriety to their job. So many of those folks credit their sobriety to their job.
You can't see me, but I'm gesturing wildly, people. I mean,
one of the employees in a business that we spoke with said, I wanted to return to you several times, but how could I? I just couldn't let down the people, the employer who supported me so well. I knew that I could turn to them and they would help me again and again and again, and they did. And so I'm never late. I never call in sick. People think people in recovery use more sick days. They use less.
No, they use less. We have to tell our folks, please take a vacation. Please take a vacation. Take a day.
Yes, they feel honored to have the second chance. And they will not let you down. They make your best employees.
And folks, if we are going to really treat substance use disorder like the disease or the condition that it is, you would absolutely allow an employee with diabetes or cancer yes. to go to a doctor's appointment. You would allow them to take some time off to go through chemotherapy. You would probably celebrate them if they went into remission, right? Like, what is the friggin' difference? There is not a difference.
No.
Put me on a commercial, Anne. I'm ready to say, what's the friggin' difference? That should be the title of the podcast. But it's not, I just don't, it's hard for me to compute why you wouldn't. Because to me, there are so many benefits, not the least of which it's free and easy. And there are people like you and the amazing folks on your team who will help the companies get the support that they need, you know, because once you get the designation, the work doesn't stop. Right. Exactly. And so that's where your whole team
exactly
is ready to go to help once you get that designation to really make it mean something, because it's got to be more than a piece of paper.
Exactly. And if I could just say, we've hired 10 community health field specialists who are spread out all over the state. And our goal is that they will continue to work with the businesses and carry this forward. So they will actually be in your communities. They will understand and know what you need in your communities. I'm also working with two colleagues to develop a course called Addiction 101 for extension professionals, because there are extension offices all over the state. And we want them to have the training and the tools they need to bring consortiums and communities together and to address this issue at their grassroots.
Yeah, level. It's kind of like walking the walk, talking the talk, right? Like, you want to make sure that they're equipped to do that.
Absolutely.
Again, if you're listening, watching, I don't care. You have homework. You need to schedule a meeting with Anne. We want Anne to be the busiest she's ever been. If you want to have conversations with me about what our policy looks like, conversations I had at the board level, opportunities we give to our staff, both in recovery and not, because recovery friendly means that you're friendly to everybody, including people in recovery, right? But if you want to learn more about it and you want to hear from me as somebody who's done it, please reach out to me. Anne, is there anything else that we have not talked about? I know I've been on my soapbox a lot. I did more talking on this one than I usually do, but I think it's necessary.
No, I'm glad you did. Just that the benefits to you as a company are astronomical. You will have your bottom line affected.
Yes.
If you are concerned with profit, if you are concerned with turnover, with
productivity, with morale. Yes.
Productivity goes up. We've seen it with every business we've designated. And so that in itself should
be. If you don't want to be like altruistic and you like are just looking for profit.
That's right.
That's okay.
That's all right. Like, because it'll give you that too.
Right. Right. But then make sure your HR director like gets trained by Anne and her team so that that's it's right. not just about profit. But if that's profit right. and productivity get you in the door.
We're okay with that. And I promise you, you will see that. You will see a lot more, but you will see that as well. Mm.
I could talk about this all day. Please, I want you to just reach out to Anne. Feel free to reach out to me if you want to know more about what it looked like at our agency. I'm also going to say, if you work in this field and you have not gotten a designation, it is past time. So I know we have several places who listen to this, who are in this field, who run nonprofits, recovery houses, things like that. If you have not gotten the designation, what you waiting for? It's time. So join the movement. Here we go.
Yep.
And thank you so much for being here. I am so excited. I love everything that you all are doing. I'm so grateful for the work. I'm sad we don't get to hear from you as much anymore, but I know you have an amazing team throughout the rest of Missouri and that you're moving on to other states and figuring out how we can expand this thing.
We sure so, are. Thank you for having me, Nicole. It means a lot to be able to spread the word. The goal that every business in Missouri becomes recovery.
Yes, that's the goal. Let's make it happen. If you like what you heard, please consider rating, reviewing, subscribing. And oh, by the way, don't forget your homework. Bye, y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.